Begin the current daf, Masechtas Yevamah, is daf Yud Zayin. We begin four lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, Rabbi Yehuda had said in the name of Rav Asi that if a non-Jew does Kiddushin, does betrothal, gets engaged to a Jewish woman, although generally that wouldn't be a halachic marriage, you have to have two Jews, you have to be Cheshin LeKiddusha, you have to be concerned that this is a valid Kiddushin. So the question is, why would that be? So he says, because we're concerned that Aseres HaShvatim, 10 tribes, besides the two Shvatim, Yehuda and Binyamin, that were kept on one side, the rest were taken into captivity, and they got assimilated into the non-Jews, and hence we have to be concerned that maybe this is really a child from a union of one of the males from the Aseres HaShvatim, who are their Jews, that married non-Jewish women, creating a child that's a mamzer, and therefore, maybe it's really a Jewish child, and therefore you have to be concerned with that Kiddushin. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? The majority of the world are not from the Aseres HaShvatim. So the Gemara says, you're right. We're told about a case where they were established that these are the provinces that they had settled in after they assimilated. If one goes and a Jewish woman gets engaged to a non-Jewish man, you have to be concerned that this is a marriage that is halachically sound. Now on that, the Gemara continues the statement of Rabbi Yehuda. Now he says, Kamrita, up until now, Rabbi Yehuda was saying in the name of Rav Asi. After Rav Asi passed away, he then went to Shmuel and learned by him. So Rabbi Yehuda says, after he quoted this statement from the name of Rav Asi, that you have to be concerned for that type of a marriage, he says, Kamrita, when I said this in front of Shmuel, this halacha Rav Asi, kamei de Shmuel, that you have to be concerned for the kedushin of when there's one a non-Jew, because maybe it's from a child of the Aseres HaShvatim. So Amali, so Shmuel said to me, no. Bincha haba min Yisrael is called bincha. Your son that comes from a Jewish mother, that's called your son. That's a Jewish child. And then if he makes a kedushin, even though he has a non-Jewish father, then you would have to be concerned for that kedushin. But ve'im bincha haba min avedis kachavim kar bincha. However, your son, meaning the Jewish children, is not considered your son if it comes from a non-Jewish woman that married your son, Elbana, that wouldn't be called your son, rather it would be called her son. Now, this is learned out from a pasuk in Devarim Zayin that says, Ki Yasser es bincha me'achrei. Now, the reason why there shouldn't be intermarriage, the pasuk says, is because what's going to happen is that he, which is in the male context, it's Yasser, that's the male terminology, which is the father, that he will remove your son from after me, and Hashem is saying, yeah, he's not going to serve me anymore. He's going to go where the idol worshiper parent will be taking him. Now, it says, like we said, ki yasser. It doesn't say ki sasser es bincha, because she will take away your son. Again, we're talking about an intermarriage, which is don't have your son marry their daughters and don't have your daughter marry their sons. Now, the pasuk gives the reasoning as such, because ki yasser es bincha me'achar, because he will take away your son from after me if you give your child to marry the non-Jews. Now, but it doesn't say ki sasser. So what we see is that it's not called bincha, meaning it's telling like the grandfather, meaning don't get your child married to them, because then their child will not be a Jew anymore. We'll follow the idols. But we see that the term bincha is not going back on when it says bitu lisikach lebincha, that his daughter, meaning the daughter of the idol worshiper, you shouldn't take for your son, because if that's the case, then it should have said that, oh, don't do that, because ki sasser, because then she might take away your child, because she's the non-Jew. From there, you can infer that it doesn't say ki sasser, only says ki yasser, that even if one has a child, if the female, the mother, is the non-Jew, that's not called bincha. There's no concern in such a case of not to have intermarriage, because then your Jewish child, your grandchild, will not stay Jewish and will go and follow the idols, because actually, that's not bincha. That child will not even be a Jew at all. And that's why it doesn't say ki sasser es bincha, that she, the mother, will take away your child, because actually that type of a child has a full-fledged status as a non-Jew. And therefore, what Shmuel was saying is that you don't have to be concerned in such a case for kedushin. What are you saying the concern is? Maybe this man, this non-Jewish man that's doing kedushin with this Jewish woman that you're saying over the name of Avasi, was born from a union of one of the males from the 10 tribes that intermarried and married non-Jewish women. Doesn't make a difference. Such a man is actually a total non-Jew. As we prove from the Pesukim, it doesn't say ki sasser, it says ki yasser. It's only if the father is the non-Jew that then the child is Jewish from the mother. But if the mother is non-Jewish, not even Jewish. And therefore, since these men married non-Jewish women, there's no reason to be concerned. Even if it is from the Ten Shvatim, he's still a non-Jew. But the Gemara asks, but for Yekabonis, what do you mean? When the 10 tribes went into exile, it wasn't just the men that were taken into captivity, it was even the women. And those women married non-Jewish men, and they gave birth to different children. Now, V'am Ravina says later on in Perek Beis, in Nafchav Gimel and Aleph, he says, Shema Mina, what you can infer from these psukim that we were just quoting before, is that Ben Bitcha, Habo Min Oivit Kechavim, the son of your daughter, that comes from an idol worshiper, if a Jewish person's daughter marries a non-Jew, is Kari Bintcha. That is called your son, as we said before, because it says in the Pasuk, Bitcha Leisit Libnoi, don't give your daughter to his son, meaning to the idol worshiper's son. As the Pasuk says, why? Hashem is saying, because Ki Yaseh Bintcha Me'achrei, because his son will take away your son from after me. Now, from the fact that, again, as we said, it doesn't say Ki Saser, because she will take away. Obviously, it's going on Abitcha Leisitin Libnoi. It's going back on he, the non-Jewish father, will take away your grandson, which is going on Bitcha Leisitin Libnoi. Don't give your daughter to his son. Now, that's obviously what the Pasuk is saying, is that because maybe they're going to give birth to a son, and the father is going to take him away from Judaism because the father is an idol worshiper. And we see it's being called Bilcha. And therefore the Gemara's question is, so that type of a child, we have to be concerned, maybe that was how the generations happened. Maybe that Jewish woman from the 10 tribes intermarried with a non-Jewish man, they had a son, and maybe Benachar, Benachar, Ben, they're all having children, and if the case is that it's from originally a union of a Jewish mother, as long as the mother is going to be Jewish, so then you have to be concerned that this is a Jewish man. And because that is called Bintcha. So why are we not concerned for a non-Jewish man that maybe it's from the 10 Shvatim, especially we're talking about those provinces, maybe the person is Jewish. It's just going to be considered a mamzer because of that union, but it should still be a Jewish person, and you should be chesh l'kedushin. I think my answer is for Shmuel that Gemiri, we have a tradition, the Bansa the Hudara, that the women from that generation, when the 10 tribes were taken into captivity, it's daruye itzdaru, that their wombs were ripped apart, meaning it lost the capacity of conceiving, and they became akaris. And that's why that's not feasible. The only option of having a child from the 10 Shvatim cannot have been from the women, because the women weren't able to have children. So even though they intermarried, they weren't having children. It's only from the men that intermarried with non-Jewish women. As we said before, that's not a concern, because actually those children are going to be non-Jewish anyway. And that's why Shmuel argues on what he had said in the name of Ravasi, to say you have to be concerned. There's no concern, because the women didn't have children, and the men, their children, are not considered Jewish anyway. Now, Ikedama, those who say a different version from this previous discussion, that he said when Rabbi Huda was saying over this statement, he says, Kamrita Kamei Deshmul, when I said over this halacha of Ravasi, and then he went and switched Rebbeim after Ravasi had passed away, and he said in front of Shmuel, so Amali, Shmuel said to me that, no, a different reason why you don't have to be concerned for maybe this is a real Kedushin, maybe he's a Jewish person, it just was assimilated, because Leizazum Isham Acha Asum Ibdi Kacham Gemur. They didn't leave from there, meaning after the captivity of the 10 tribes and they assimilated with all the non-Jews, the halacha changed, and they actually became halachically like they're non-Jews. Shem, like it says in Pasuk in Hosea, Bashem bogodu, that they rebelled against Hashem, ki banim zar miladu, and therefore their sons that they give birth to are going to be foreigners, and that's why I'm to be concerned about the kedushin from a non-Jew, that even if maybe it's from the 10 tribes, and even if, let's say, the women were able to conceive, it doesn't make a difference. Hashem halachically gave them a status as non-Jews, and therefore all their children will not be considered Jewish, and that's why he says, Yagis Ravasi, there's no need to be concerned when a non-Jew does kedushin with a Jewish woman, as if maybe it is halachically a kedushin, maybe it is a Jewish child. It's not true, because the only concern is from the 10 tribes, and they're not considered Jewish. Now the Gemara resumes that this is something that was brought up on the previous daf regarding the Talmudim, that we assume that those they had genealogical problems regarding their yichus. So Yosef Rav Yosef Achered Rav Kahana, Rav Yosef was sitting behind Rav Kahana, V'Yosef Rav Kahana Kamed Rav Yehuda, and Rav Kahana was sitting in front of Rav Yehuda, V'Yosef would come and he was sitting and he was saying the following halacha. He said, Asidin Yisrael de Avdi Yomatava, there will come a time when the Jewish people will make a yomtiv, a holiday, Ki Charver Tamed, that Tamrid will be destroyed. And the reason is because since they're full of mamzerim, illegitimate children, and they intermarry with the Jewish people, and they make the Jewish people halachically pasul, and therefore that's a bad thing. We want the Klai Yisrael to be pure. And therefore, they'll make a yom tov when finally this place Tarmid, which is so genealogical problematic, they'll make a yom tov when it's destroyed. Now the Gemara asks, but v'hachar, what do you mean Tarmid was destroyed? What do you mean in the future? Now the Gemara says, no, he tamud havu. The place that was destroyed was Tamud. We're talking about Tarmud with a resh. Another answer the Gemara brings Rav Ashim, he says, no, hainu Tarmud, hainu Tamud, it's the same place. But then the question that you asked was, but it was destroyed. And that answer is, it wasn't totally destroyed. And that is because achfulihu demachful. And that is, when it was destroyed in one place, then they would double up and rebuild in the other place. As the Gemara explains, charv mahai gisa, yes, when they were destroyed on one side, aysiv mahai gisa, then they would build on the other side. Vecharv mahai gisa, if they were destroyed on the other side, aysiv mahai gisa, they would build on the other side, and therefore it wasn't totally destroyed. But in the future, when they're going to be totally destroyed, that's going to be a yom tov for the Jewish people. Similarly, the Gemara brings that, yes, Rav Hamnuna kamedu ula. Rav Hamnuna was sitting in front of ula, for kahavi, and he was asking questions b'shmaita in the sugis that they were learning and the topics. So ula said regarding Rav Hamnuna, said, oh, magavro, magavro, what a great person, what a gadol batar this person is. Ilav de harpanya masi, only if, but there is one little thing that if not that he had not come from harpanya, which is a place of not such pure lineage, you know, he would have been a great person. So the Gemara says, Ichsef, so Rav Hamnuna was embarrassed because he was talking about his roots. So Amalei, so Ula said to Rav Hamnuna, he says, let me ask you a question. Kesef gilgalta lehechi hafta, where do you give your head tax to? Where do you pay taxes to? So Amalei lefum nara, to the place from nara. He says, oh, Amalei, he said, so he said to him, okay, if that's the case, so you don't have to be embarrassed, mipum naharat, you're not actually from this bad place, harpanya, you're from Pum Nahari, because that's where you pay taxes to, and that's how he was able to take away the shame that he got, because you're not really from Harpanya. So the Gemara says, my Harpanya, what's this place Harpanya that has such a bad reputation? So Rav Zeri says, Harpanya is a contraction of the words Har, it's the mountain, Shahakol, that everybody that's posel, that's invalid, they can't find a wife because of their bad yichas, Painin, boy, that's where they turn towards, that's Har, Painya, the mountain that they turn to, that's where they all go, because there you could find, and no one's exacting there regarding Shaduchim. But Masnitutana, in the Brisa we learned, Kol She'ein Makir Mishpachta B'Shifta, anybody doesn't recognize, doesn't know his family, his tribe, he doesn't have his Ichas, Nifne L'Sham, he turns there, and that's where all those type of people go. Amar Rava, Rava comments on that. He says, V'yamuka, he says, it's deeper, meaning it's so bad regarding this problem of Ichas, more than Mishael, more than Gehenna. And that's because, although regarding people that go to Gehenna, there is some type of rectification. Gehenna is only for 12 months. There's a tikkun for the nefesh when you go through Gehenna. Shenema, like it says the pasuk in Hosea, that says, Miyad sho'il eftem, that from the hand of Gehenna, I will redeem them. Mimavis egolim, and from death, I will redeem them. So you see, there's some type of a redemption from sho'il, from Gehenna. But ve'ilu psul didhu les lo tikanta, but from their psul, from their invalidations of their lineage, there's no rectification. It's something that passed over from generation to generation. And in a sense, Rav was saying that the people from Harpanya are worse than Gehenna. Now the Gemara clarifies and says that Psuli de Harpanya, this of the invalidations regarding the lineage of Harpanya, is actually Mishum Psuli de Meshan. It's actually because of the proximity of this place Meshan, and the people from there mix with the people of Harpanya, and that's where Harpanya is so bad, because of the people of Meshan. Now, Upsuli de Meshan, they're actually Mishum Psuli de Tarmid. They're from the people of Tarmid. And Psuli de Tarmid, what's the validation of Tarmid? That's as we explained in the previous time, Mishum Abdi Shlema, because the servants of Shlema, who were not Jewish, and since they were wealthy and influential, they married the Jewish women, creating this Mamzerim population, which again then filtered down. Behind Damianchi, and this is what people say, that Kava Rabba v'Kava Zuta, meaning a large measurement and a small measurement, meaning when they're both bad, meaning all invalidations, all psulim type of people, they're megander v'az l'shal, they'll roll down and go down to sha'ol. Now, mish'ol l'tarmid, and from sha'ol, from the Gehenim, they go down to Tarmid, meaning what they're essentially saying is that Gehenim is higher, better than Tarmid, and then it rolls from sha'ol down to Tarmid, as we said before, because whereas regarding those who go to Gehenim, there is some type of a tikkun, But regarding the psulim of these people, there is no tahara whatsoever. So almost like from Gehenim, which is bad, it rolls down to Tamrid. Tamrid Lamation, Umemation Larpanya, and that's the place where everybody that's invalid, that's the bottom of the barrel, so to speak, they go down over there, and that's why they're, in a sense, worse than Gehenim, because they have no tikkun forever. Hadn lo chamesh esri nashim, we shall return to the first paragim sech zivamas, parag chamesh esri nashim, and with that we begin the second paragim sech zivamas, parag ketza. Now the opening of this parag comes to clarify regarding the first mission in the Masechta on Daf Beis, that one of the 15 arayas was Eishes Achiv Shlohoi Bai Lamai, regarding the wife of the brother who passed away without any children, who was not Bai Lamai, that was not at the same time as the new brother, the Yavam. He wasn't alive when the first brother who now created the widow, they weren't alive at the same time. Which now the Mishnah comes to clarify, and this is a machlekes between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon, which we had discussed on previous staff, and which a later Mishnah will clarify the machlekes. But now the Mishnah opens up, Ketzad Eishes Achiv Shlohoi Bai Lamai. What is exactly the case conceptualization of the wife of his brother, who he was not in the world with him at the same time, meaning that it will come to exempt the tzara, meaning that we know what the halacha is, it's they weren't alive at the same time, but we're coming to clarify the phase two, meaning all the wives of that first brother, when he dies, they're all Eishes Achiv Shlohoi Bai Lamai. But how do you have a case where that woman will be married and that the co-wives are not an Eishes Achiv Shlohoi Bai Lamai? Because that's what the first Meshadav Beis comes to say, that all these 15 Arayas, which one of them is Eishes Achiv Shlohoi Bai Lamai, will also exempt her co-wife. How do you have that there is an Eishes Achiv Shlohoi Bai Lamai and there are co-wives that are not, but she will exempt them? So the Mishnah explains, Shnei Achim, you have two brothers, we'll call them Reuben and Shimon. Umeis Echad Mehen, and one of them dies, that's Reuben. V'noi Lehen La'ach. Now, there's another brother, we'll call him Levi, that's born after Reuben passed away, but before anyone did Yibum. So he comes now and he finds that there's this Zika, there's this bond to the Yavam, that this wife of Reuben has to marry one of them. Now, however, she's forbidden to Levi. And that's because she's the classic Eishes Achiv Shlohoi Bai Lamai. She's the wife of his brother that he was not in life at the same time as Reuben. He only was born after Reuben passed away. So she's forbidden to him. Fine, that we understand. But the case continues. Ba'achach Yibim Hashenius Eishes Achiv. Then the second brother, we'll call him Shimon, he went and married the wife of the first brother, that of Reuben. Now, Shimon has another wife. Umeis, then Shimon dies. Now, there's one brother left, that's Levi. So on that, the Mishnah tells us, Harishaina, the first woman, meaning the wife of Reuven, who she fell already in front of Levi one time before, meaning when Levi was born, and he's a baby, but he's still a man, and there's a Zika that's coming from this woman, the widow of Reuven, because no one had done any Yibum Chalitz to her. So this first one is Yaitza, she leaves and she's exempt from the mitzvah of Yibam, Mishum Eishes Achiv Shlohoi Bai Lamai, because she was already rejected from the mitzvah of Yibam, because she was the wife of his brother that wasn't alive with him at the same time. Vashniyam Mishum Tzarasa. The second woman, meaning the wife of Shimon, she was never Eishes Achiv Shlohoi Bai Lamai to Levi, because his brother Shimon, when he died, Levi was already born. But she's the co-wife of an erva of Eishes Achiv Shlohoi Bai Lamai, because of this woman that was originally the wife of Reuben, who only later became the wife of Shimon. That's the case of how Eishes Achiv Shlohoi Bai Lamai will exempt her tzar. However, the Mishnah does tell us, but if it's only that Asaba, that this most recent one who died, meaning Shimon, if he only did to Eishes Reuven, if he only made a mimer, which is some type of a rabbinic kedushin to the Avama, but he didn't consummate the relationship to create a full-fledged Yibum, then he died. So then Shnia, then the second woman, meaning the tzara of the Eishes Achiv Shlohoi Bai Lamai, meaning Shimon's original wife, then it's chaylatzes. Then Levi has to do chalitzatar, and that she's not totally exempt because that she's the tzara's erva of the Eishes Achiv Shlohoi Bai Lamai, because she's not totally a tzara, meaning biblically. And because she never was consummated the relationship of Yibum from Shimon to the Eishes Reuven, he just made some type of a quasi-relationship with a mimer. So therefore, you still have a Zika there. You have, in other words, it wasn't full-fledged. It's not a total tzara, And therefore, you have to separate, you have to undo the Zika of Esha Shimon somehow, because she's not totally exempt, she's not a full-fledged biblical Tzaras Erva, but V'lo Misa Abemis. However, but you so if she's not a Tzara of Ashes Reuven, because never consummated Yibum is just a Mimer, so then maybe you think you can do Yibum. No, you can't do Yibum either, because still Mimer does create somewhat of an acquisition from Shimon to Ashes Reuven. And therefore, essentially what the Ashes Shimon is like a Tsaras Erva, a quasi Tsaras Erva rabbinically. And therefore, you're like somewhere in the middle. You can't go ahead and do Yibum, because she is somewhat of a Tsaras Erva, because the Shimon created somewhat of a relationship with this Mimer, this rabbinic type of a marriage to her. So they are co-wives. So you can't do Yibum. But on the other hand, you can't totally exempt her from even Chalitza to say because she's a Tzara's Erva, because biblically she's not a Tzara's Erva. Shimon never went and had Biyu with her and consummated the relationship. So therefore, you have to do something. So you do Chalitza and you don't do Yibum. Now the Gemara clarifies regarding the terminology used in our Mishnah. Some Rav Nachman, he says, Manitoni Bishayna, whoever has the Girsa in our Mishnah, that when it says, which is the Girsa in our Mishnah too, that when it says Rishayna, when it's identifying the first woman that fell in front of Levi two times, meaning Ashes Reuven, and then Shimon married her, and now she's falling a second time, according to the one who has the Girsa, Rishayna, Loi Mishtabish, that's not an error. And even Manitoni Shnei, whoever has the Girsa in our Mishnah, calling that woman the second woman, is also lemishtabish, is also not an error. As the Gemara explains, man did tani, and we continue on Tamid Beis, Rishayna lemishtabish, the one that has the girsa, again, like our Mishnah that calls her the first woman, it's not an error, because my Rishayna, why are we calling her the first one? It's because Rishayna le nefila, she's the first one to have a nefila. In other words, that she already fell for Yibum once before this Esha Shimon, which was the first time when she was the wife of Reuven. Now when she's falling because Shimon died, so then they're both falling at the same time for Levi, but she's called the first one because she already had it once before. That's why we're calling her Rishayna. The one that calls her the second one is not mistaken, because my Shnia, why she called the second woman, is because she's Shnia l'nisuin. She's the second one to get married to the second brother, which is Shimon, because Shimon had already had a wife beforehand, who was not an Eish HaSachav Shalei B'Olam HaTalevi. Now, but then, when Reuven, his brother, died, he went and married her also, doing Yibum. So therefore, she's called the Shnia because she was the second one to be married to Shimon. To which the Gemara asks, Milo Yaskinen, are we not talking about that this case of Eish HaSachav Shalei B'Olam could be even the Yavim V'ach Kach Konas? That even if he first did Yibum to Eish Reuven, and only then later did he marry his other wife, to say that could be a case of the Erva of Esha Shalchav Shalei B'Olam exempting the Tzara. So who said that she has to be the second one married? Maybe Shimon was not married yet. He was single. Then his brother Reuven died. He went and did Yibum to her. And then later, a few years later, he went and married another wife. And then when he dies, Levi would have a problem of Esha Shalchav Shalei B'Olam and it would even exempt the Tzara, which is the other wife. Then she wouldn't be Shneel in Nisuin. She would have been the first one married. So why are we calling her the Shnia if it doesn't have to be? Yes, it could be she's the second one married, but it doesn't have to be. So why would we call her the second one? So El Rav, the Gemara says, my Shnia, what does it mean according to the Girsa that would call her the second one? It means Shnia bin Nisuin, not Lin Nisuin. She doesn't have to be the second one married to Shimon. She could be the first one. But it's the second time she's getting married, because once she was married to her original husband, Reuven, and then once to the Yavam, to Shimon, and that's what we're calling her, she's the second woman, meaning it's not her first time falling for Yibum, it's the second time because of the second marriage that she had. And that's why she's calling the second one. But either way, either Girsa, the Gemara is saying, is okay, Rishon, if we call her as our Mishnah does, or if we call her the Shnia. Now the Gemara asks a general question on this halacha. Where is it written in the Torah that this is a halacha that invalidates this woman from the mitzvah of Yibum, thus creating some type of Eishes Ach type of an erva, because you don't have a heter of Yibum, so then you're like an Issur Karis of a regular brother's wife. And hence, if you're an erva, you're going to be exempting your tzara from Yibum too. Where is that written in the Torah to say that she's forbidden to be taken in Yibum? So that on Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Amakra, there's a pasuk in the Varm that says, Ki yeshvu achim yachtam, that it will be that when brothers are dwelling together, Then the pasuk continues with dash the parasha of Yibum. It says Meis Achamem, and then if one of them dies, Uvein Enloy, and he doesn't have a son, and so on, you do Yibum or Chalitza. Now, one thing we see is Shahoyselahem Yeshiva Achas Ba'olam, that they had one dwelling together in the world. It says Ki Yesho Acham, when brothers are dwelling, which means to say Prat that excludes Le'esha Sochem Shalay Ba'olam. When the brother Levi, let's say, was born after Reuben had already passed away, so they weren't Ki Yesho Acham. When the brother that died, they weren't dwelling together because he wasn't alive at the same time. And therefore, the Pasuk obviously is saying that he's not in the parasha of Yibum, and that's how we see that she's considered an erva of Eishes Achim regarding the mitzvah of Yibum. And that's why she's going to be exempt to Katzar. Now, the Gemara makes another drasha from that Pasuk. It says, Yachdav, together. What does that word come to teach us? Michadim benachlam means those that are distinct in heritage and inheritance. That means to say that they inherit from each other. That's why there's this unity together. This, the Yachdav is because they inherit the Yerusha. Now, that comes to be prat that excludes L'achav min ha'im. If it's only his maternal brother, then there's no halacha of Yibum. So if, let's say, they only share a mother together, but it's from different fathers, then you're not going to be doing Yibum. It's only if they share fathers, which is his paternal brother, that's a stepbrother from the father, then is where the mitzvah of Yibum applies. Now, Rabbi Amar, he brings a different source for this second halacha, that how do you know that Yibum applies just to the paternal brother, not to a maternal brother? He says that Acham and Av Yolev, the way you learn out that it has to be your brother that you share for fathers, is learned out from Ach v'Achvim ne'Yakov. It's learned out, it says in the parasha of Yibum Ki Yesho Achim, that when brothers are dwelling together, and it also says in Bereishit Membeis, when the Shvatim told Yosef, who they didn't recognize at that time, Shneim Osir Achim b'nei Avinu, we are 12 brothers, the sons of our father. So there it says Achim, and here it says Achim. So Malahalam and Av Loim and Aim, just like over there, the brothers, the tribes, they didn't all have the same mother. They were four Imahis. They all shared the same father, so they were from the father, not from the mother, and it was called Achim, brothers. Avkan here also would use the same terminology, brothers, is Minav Loim and Aim. It means they have to share the same father, paternal brothers, and not that it's from the mother. They don't have to be, and neither is it that a variable of being maternally related. Now, but the Gemara asks, V'leilef achva achva me'rais. Why learn from there, from the brothers of the Shvatim? Learn it from the same term that it says brotherhood by the erva, where it says, ervas eisha zechicha. It says that the one is not allowed to marry the wife of your brother. Now, the Gemara explains later on, Daf Nun Hei Amud Aleph, that when it says you can't marry your brother's wife, is whether it's your paternal brother or even your maternal brother. So as the Gemara will explain the source for that there, but the Gemara is asking if that's the case, so maybe learn from there, where we see that the term Achim does refer to maternal brothers, and maybe therefore the mitzvah of Yibum would be by maternal and not just paternal. But the Gemara says no, because Donim Achim me'achim, we learn out the exact terminology where it says, in Yibum it says the term brothers, which is Aleph, Ches, Yud, Enemem, me'achim, from the term where it says exactly those same letters, that word says by the sons of Yaakov. But we don't learn when it says by Yibum Achim from the term of by Arias when it says the term Achecha, where the end of Achav Safis, where there, it's not the same exact word. And therefore, we're not going to learn from there to say that's maternally related. We're going to say from over here where it's paternally related. But the Gemara asks on that. That's a good answer. My nafki, I mean, what's the difference if it says Achim, brothers, or Achecha, your brother? But Atanibe, Rabbi Shmuel, it was taught in the Brayso of Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel that it says regarding the parsha of Negoyim, it says in different contexts, depending on how did you wait, did you see, did it spread. But it says in one pasuk, it says Veshev HaKoyim, that the Koyim returns. Another one says Uvo HaKoyim, the Koyim comes. Now, on that, the Brayso there teaches that Zuhi Sheva, Zuhi Bia. Coming back is the same as coming initially. In other words, that although the Pesukim are not exactly the same, but since they both refer to the Kohen coming to the house to check it out, so we make a Gzeirah Shavah and we say, just like over there, the context is telling you that you have to go ahead and take it down and peel away the plaster and do the whole process, so too by the other place, it's also telling you that you have to have the same halachas. So you see, it doesn't have to be the same word. As long as contextually it means the same idea, returning, coming, but it's the Kohen coming, so definitely, you could learn Achem from Achecha, because just it's a little bit off, of course. So you could still learn from there. So why are you saying learn from Achem, Achem? Learn from Achecha, that it's maternally related. Nothing more says no. Hani Mili, when would that be, let's say, by the Brayso of Rabbi Shmuel, that you can learn even if the word is a different word, but it means the same thing? That's Heicha Deleke Midi Didamile. That's when there's nothing else that's comparable. So these is where we'll make the Gzera Shava. Aval Heicha Deika Midi Didamile, but where there's something that's more comparable, then the Didamile Lefin, then we'll learn that out from that which is more comparable. And that's why, if we have a choice between Achim and Achacha, we're going to learn from Achim, which is paternally related. But over there where we learn B'Shevakai and Avakai, that's because there's no other term that says exactly Uva to learn from there. And therefore, it doesn't have to be exactly the same. But if there is one that's more exacting, you learn that from the one that's more exacting. But the Gemara still asks. So fine, you cannot learn it from Arayas. But V'Leilaf Achva, Achva mi light. But you can learn a brotherhood from light. Because there it does use the same exact word. So like it says the Pasuk in Bereishis, that the Avram and light said, Ki anoshim achma nachna, because men, brothers, we are. And therefore, it's, since they use the same terminology of Achim, Yibum should apply to your father's brother's wife. Because Lot was a nephew, the son of the brother of Avram Avinu. And therefore, if you're learning Achim, maybe Ki Yeshu Achim means to say uncles. That is, the wife of your uncle, you should be allowed to do Yibum to. Nothing more says no, because Mistaber Mnei Yaakov Havlemev. It makes more sense to say that we would learn out the term Achim Achim from the sons of Yaakov. Mishum Demufne, because that's an extra word. And as the halacha is always, we learn out from that which seems to be extra, which is coming to teach us a halacha. And the reason why it's extra is Midahavale Lemechdev Shneim Osra Avedecha Bnei Avinu, from the fact that when the sons of Yaakov were talking to Yosef and explaining who they are and how many are in the family, they should have said, 12 servants, the son of our father. Now, Uksiv Achim, it says brothers. How is that relevant to the discussion? From there, it teaches us that it's actually an extra word, and it's put in there to teach a Gezer Shava to Achim by Yibum, to say, just like over there, it's paternal brothers. There, by Yibum, it's also by paternal brothers. Now, the Gemara concludes, we have two sources regarding the halacha of how do you know that it's going to be paternal brothers. You either have like Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, that we learned it out from Yachdov, which is Miuchad Menachla, and inheritance is only when you're paternally related. Or it's like Rav has said that you know it from Achim Achim from Bnei Yaakov. So the Gemara concludes, V'itzuch L'michad. Achim actually needed both drushes. You needed to say the word Achim, and V'itzuch L'michad Yaakov, you also have to say the word Yachdov, as the Gemara explains. Dikas Rav Mana Achim, if we only had the first drush, if we only had the drush of Rabba, that because we learned it out from Bnei Yaakov, Havamina Leilif Achva Achva Milait. I would have said that maybe not. Maybe you should learn out brothers from light. Now, V'chitim Aloy Mufni, you can say, what do you mean? Why would we have thought that you learned it from light? Didn't we just say that that's not an extra word? But by Bnei Yaakov it is extra, so of course we would learn that from Bnei Yaakov. It's not true. Because La'ai, truthfully, is Afnuya Mafni, it actually is extra also by light. Midahava Leila Mechtav Reyim Uksiv Achim. You're right, the word is not extra, but the choice of word is extra. It should have said that we're men that are friends. Why did it say that we're brothers? That would come to tell you that, yes, it's an extra word to then compare it to Achim by Yibum, and therefore we might have thought to say that we would say the Yibum applies to one's uncle's wife. That's why the Torah had to write the other drush also of togetherness, which that they're unified, they're together with inheritance. That's because they share one inheritance, which that would exclude light, because a nephew doesn't share the same inheritance with his uncle. So that's what Yachta would come to exclude light. It's not that context. Actually, it's like Achim, which is from Bnei Yaakov. Now, because Rachman the Yachta, had we only had the drasha of Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Rav, that it, because it has to be something together, Havamina de miyachti ba'aba ube'ima. I would have thought to say that the unity that they have is not just enough for unity of inheritance, of which would make it just a necessity of a paternal brother. It would have to be that you have the same father and mother. That's what Yachta would mean. So Tzricha, that's why you need to have also the other one of Achim, which learns out from the sons of Yaakov, that they didn't have the same mother, and it's enough just to be paternal brothers. Now, but the Gemara asks on this, that we would have thought from Yachta that you need to have the same father and mother. But the Gemara asks, Bahama Hecha Tesa, that from where would you think this? In other words, why would you say that you would have to have the same father and mother, but Yibum Benachla Talarachman? We already see elsewhere that Yibum is dependent on inheritance. As the Pasuk says over there in the parashah of Yibum, it says, Yokum al Shem Ochav Hames, that he should stand up and take the place of his brother who passed away his name. Now, the Gemara explained in the on Daf Chaf Dalam and Aleph, that when it says that the brother gets up, the Yavam, Al Shem Achim, for the name of his brother, means to say for inheritance purposes. And that is because the one who does Yibum inherits all the resources and all the properties of the one who died, and the other brothers don't share that with him. Now, we see that contextually, the halacha of Yibum is one related to Nechasim, to inheritance. Now, V'nachlam in Av, Olem in Emhi. Inheritance is only related to a paternal concept. It has nothing to do whether if you're maternally related or not. And therefore, why would we have assumed to say the Yachdom, which we already explained would sound like that they're together based on the inheritance, would mean from the mother also, if we see from the other parashiyos in Yibum that it has nothing to do, it's mainly related to the paternal concept, which is that's the idea of inheritance. I think Mara says, no, it's you would still need the Achim to tell you that's only paternal, because you would think that Yachdom would mean you need to have the same mother too. Because Salka Da'ed Chemina, I would have thought to say, Hoyl v'chidishu tekumishtari er v'gabe. Yibum is a very huge novelty. Because when do you ever have that someone is an erva, is a forbidden relationship, and just there's a window that we create that, okay, now we're going to allow it. Which that's what Yibum is. You have an erva, which is your brother's wife, it's a full-fledged erva. But if he dies without any children, and it fills certain criteria, then you can go ahead and marry this erva. So since it's a chiddush ema adam yachti ba'aba be'ima, so you would then say that maybe it's only if it's, you know, restrictions. It's very limited in the sense that not just that he's your paternal brother, but you have to have the same mother too. That's why tzricha, that's what you needed to have. Also the drash of Achim to say that, no, you see, from the Bnei Yaakov, it's enough to be considered a brother of Achim, which is the same word used in Yibum, even if you're just paternal brothers and you don't have the same mother too. Now the Gemara opens up a discussion classically known as the sugya of Zika, whether it's yesh Zika or ain Zika, which again, Zika means the bond that is created mishamayim when the husband, the original husband, dies without any children. Now his wife, known as the Yavama, she becomes the Zikuka. She becomes that there's some type of a bond connecting her and the other brothers, the potential Yavams. And that's because until you do Yib Mor Chalitza, she can't go ahead and marry anyone else. So they're somehow connected. Now, and that is where the Gemara comes to clarify whether Yesh Zika, how strong that bond is, or Ein Zika, that it's not such a strong bond. As the Gemara explains, Amar Behuna, Amar Rav. His opinion is that Shemeris Yavim Shemesa. Shemeris Yavim is the term that she's waiting, she's anticipating the Yavim, which means to say that she's in the status of Zikuka. The Yavim didn't do anything to her. She either has to be consummated with the relationship, but that's Yibim, or released from this bond by having Chalitza done to her. Nothing was done to her yet. And Shemesa, and she dies in that status. So that, Rav Huna says the name of Rav, the Mutra Be'ima. So the Yavim, or potential Yavim, the brothers of the deceased, is permitted to marry this Zukuka's mother. Now, so the Gemara infers, Al Maksavar ain't Zika. Obviously, he holds of what's called, in the terminology of that, there is no Zika. In other words, that the bond of a Yavama that passed away, although that bond was never severed or consummated by anybody, because no Yimur Chalitza was done to her, but it's not that strong to create as if there was an eternal bond of, let's say, when you're engaged to someone, to say that, oh, you can't marry her mother, because even a quasi, she's your mother-in-law. How is she your mother-in-law? I was never married to her. But yes, but she's at least maybe even rabbinically your mother-in-law, because there's a Zika here, there's a connection here. And that, obviously, from Rav, you see that, no, ain't Zika. You know, of course, there's a mitzvah to marry her, and she can't marry anyone else until you do something, but we're not related. I was never married to her. I never had any relation with her. And therefore, you can go ahead and marry her mother-in-law after she passes away, even if no Yibum Chalitza was done to her. Now the Gemara asked, however, in the way that he phrased it, that he just said this halacha, the Gemara asked, what do you mean? V'leima halacha k'divrei omer ein zika. Let him just say the halacha. He could have just, why talk about this specific case? When there's a shemeris yavim that she dies, and then after her death you're permitted to her mother, just say there is no zika. And that is as Rashi explains, because we learn in the Mishnah, Perka Chaylitz, on the Mem Alf, Mem Alf, where there the Mishnah says halacha with a similar type of a case. We have a shemeris yavim, a woman that's waiting, anticipating what the yavim, the brother of her deceased husband, is going to do, where one of the other brothers of the yavim, meaning the one who was the candidate that's going to do something to her, one of the other brothers, who is also a potential yavim, goes and instead of marrying her, the yavama, goes and marries her sister, unrelated, who's not married, obviously not because the sister is to her deceased husband. And therefore he leaves the mitzvah of Yib Mechalitza to his other brother, and instead he goes and marries this woman's sister. So in the name of Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseri, they said that we tell the brother that got engaged to the sister of the Yavama, we say, whoa, hold on one second. You can't consummate this relationship yet. She, this woman that you want to get married to, is Achei Zuku Koscha. She's the sister of a woman that has a bond to you, which is the potential Yavama. Now, since that, after that, there was a creation of the Zika to the sister, you went ahead and you did Kedushin to this other sister, you have to wait until the Yavam does Yibum to this woman, to the Yavama, where then the Zika will be removed. And then you can go ahead with your relationship. Now that the Gemara there says, that Shmuel says, Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, from the Gemara is making inference. From the fact that Shmuel says Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, obviously there are those that argue on him. And they hold that there's no Zika to the brothers that would make it so strong as if he's forbidden to our relatives. And they would hold, ain't Zika. And you can go ahead and just marry the sister of the Yavama. I have nothing to do with her. This is Yavama. Yes, the Torah says it's a mitzvah for us to do something with this woman. That, yes, he was our brother. He died without any children. We have 10 brothers. Someone's got to do Yimur Chalitza to her. Now, but me, I'm getting engaged to this woman. And actually, I want to continue. I want to go ahead and marry her and consummate their relationship. So you're telling me I can't? That would only be if you hold yes, Zika, meaning there's a bond. There's a Zikuka here that I'm related to. I can't go ahead and marry the sister. It's almost like an Achais Isha type of thing. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says, who Shmuel Paskin's like. But the fact that he has to say halacha is that obviously there are those who argue and say, no, ain't Zika. You go ahead, marry her. There's nothing that's stopping you. Yes, there's a mitzvah. Someone's got to do one of the brothers. Okay, let my other brother do it. I'm going to go ahead and marry her. So the Gemara is asking on Rav Huna, why do you have to say this specific case? Just say a general halacha, which will then clarify all these myriads of cases you could have. Say there's no Zika. No Zika means there's no bond. Of course you could marry her mother after she dies. What, she was my wife? She's not my wife. So why can't I marry her mother? She's not my mother-in-law. So that the Gemara says no. Ihaba Amar Hachi, if Rav Huna would have just said that ain't Zika, Sahava Mina Hanamili, then I would have thought to say that when is it that the Zika, this bond, is not so chashub, it's not so intense to make him forbidden to the relatives, that's only betray. That's only when there's at least two brothers that are survived this brother that passed away, who then she falls in front of two potential Yavams. Because that's actually the case of that we quoted before from the Mishnah on Daf Mem Aleph Manav, where Yehuda argues with the Rabbanan, and there maybe you would say that since you don't know who's going to be the Yavam, because you only have one that does it, so that's not so heavy to make such a strong bond, because how could she be my wife? At least rabbinically or Minas Shemayim, whatever it is, maybe my brother's going to do it. So you can't say who's going to do it. Maybe over there is where the Rabbanan say, Ein Zika. Al-Bachad, when there's only one Yavam, we're definitely, you're the guy, you're the man. You got to do something, either Yim Chalitza, maybe then we would say Yesh Zika. Maybe we say that then there is a bond. In other words, that maybe then she was like somewhat married to you because you had to have somewhat of a relationship with her, either doing Yim Chalitza, and maybe then you would be forbidden in her mother when she passes away without ever severing that bond of Chalitza, because she passed away in that status. That's why he couldn't just say ain't Zika, because maybe then we would have thought like that machlok is over there, that's by two brothers, where then it's not definite, maybe there you can marry the sister. But over here, when you're just one person, one Yavam, then we would say yes, Zika, and you would be forbidden to the mother. That's why I said, no, even in such a case, Shemes Yavam Shemesa is Mutabah Chaisa. But the Gemara still asks, okay, fine, that's the problem. You could have just said, the halacha is like the one who says that there is no bond, even when there's just one brother. As Rashi says, that's actually the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, who was brought in Perek Dalet Achan on Chof Tesma Beis, where he says that a Shemeris Yavam, even if he's just one Yavam, and she's anticipating something from him, he cannot go ahead and nullify her oaths. Not if he's one, or even not two or one Yavams. In other words, even if there's just one Yavam, we don't call her his wife. And from that opinion of Rabbi Kiva, we see that there are those who say, ain't Zika even by one. So if that would have been the problem, and that's why you have to specify this case, so just say, ain't Zika, filibachad, and then we would have known this case. The Gemara says, no, still, it would have been a problem. Because Iyam Rahachi Hadi said that there's no Zika even when there's just one Yavam. Havamina afila mechayim. I would have thought to say, and that's even when the Yavama is alive. When she's alive, I would have thought to say, okay, I understand there's a mitzvah here, but we're not related. Not kihu zed. There's no relation whatsoever. And therefore, we would have thought to say that you're actually permitted to marry her mother even before chalitz is done. And then once you marry the mother, so then she can go marry anyone else now because you can't. She's an erva to you because she's the daughter of your wife because you married her mother when she was waiting for Yibum. And then she would be removed from the mitzvah of Yibum, and then she would be like any erva who doesn't have to have any Yibum or chalitza done to her whatsoever. That's what I would have thought to say if we say that there's no Zika even when there's just one Yavam. Kamash Malan, that's where Abuna had to say in the name of Rav in this way. That la'achar misa in. It's only if the Yavama dies, then you're permitted to marry her mother. Michayim loy, but when she's still alive, then there is somewhat of a Zika here that would withhold us from going ahead and marrying her mother. And that's because, as the Gemara says, mishum da'as levatal mitzvah yavamim. There's a prohibition of nullifying the mitzvah of Yibam. And meaning, if there's a mitzvah of Yibam, you can't do something that's going to circumvent and then nullify the opportunity of doing Yibam. Now, if you would marry her mother when she's still alive, you'd be mevatal the mitzvah totally from Yibam Chalitza, and that's why we have to say that it's only when she dies. Had we said that there's no Zika even by one, we would have said, even one brother left over, there's no Zika. I understand there's a mitzvah, but I can do whatever I want. I can marry your mother. And then you're the Bas Ishta, and then, okay, I have nothing to do with you. And that is why I have to say, no, it's only when she dies, then you're permitted the mother. When she's still alive, you're not allowed to marry the mother because then you'll be being Mevatel Mitzvah Yavam, and that's not allowed because then you're circumventing this mitzvah and you're cutting it out. And that's why we didn't say it in that terminology. Now, however, the Gemara asked now from Tanan, we learned the Mishnah of Memtesim and Aleph, which seems to contradict Rav Huna and Rav's opinion of Ein Zika. Because the Mishnah there says, Yevimtei Shemesa, if his Yevama passes away, she dies, then Mutabachesa, then he's permitted to marry her sister, with that's actually halacha by even a full-fledged wife, that if one's wife dies, he's permitted to marry her sister. Now, the inference of the Gemara is making is that it sounds like Bachesa in, that he, after his Yevama passed away, then he's allowed to marry her sister, but be'imolai, but not her mother. And that's because regarding a wife, a mother is forbidden even after his wife passed away. Now, it sounds like that by Yevama is also forbidden. It's only by a sister where that's the same as a wife, obviously. And therefore, it sounds like that yesh zika. In other words, if a Yevama was ein zika, so you would say that once she passes away, like Rav Huna Merab said, so then you're permitted even by her mother. She was never married. It's only maybe when she's alive because you're not living about the Mrs. Yavman. However, afterwards, you can marry the mother. So then why does the Mishnah there say that when the Yevama passed away, you could marry her sister? That sounds like you're equating her as a full-fledged wife because a wife is like that. A wife is only a problem for the sister when you're alive. When the wife dies, you can marry the sister, but none of the other relatives of hers. So it sounds like it's the same as a wife, that there is Zika. I think Mara says, no, ho adin nefila be'ima. The truth is, as Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, ain Zika, and that even when the Yavama passed away, you could even marry the mother. But the Aydi, the Tana Resha, Ishtei Shemesa, Mutbachesa, but since is that we were saying first regarding a wife and then regarding a Yavama. So when we said regarding the wife, we said that when the wife dies, then you're permitted to marry her sister. And there it is exactly specifically, in it's only that you can marry the sister of your wife after she dies, but not her mother. That's because the Havilai Suud Raisa, that's because the Torah forbids one's mother-in-law. And the Pasuk doesn't differentiate whether your wife is still alive or that she's dead. In contradistinction to Achais Isha, to one's wife's sister, where the Pasuk does say, Oleha Bechayeha, where she's only going to be forbidden, your sister-in-law. The wife's sister is only going to be a problem when your wife is still alive. So there we had to say that when the wife passed away, the only thing that's going to be permitted is her sister. So Taninam Sefer, Matabachais, also the Sefer, which was talking about the Yavama, we also said, oh, when she dies, it's also going to be permitted in the sister, but it's not limited to that. It's actually permitted even by the mother, because like Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, that's Ein Zika. That was one opinion on this Machlekes. However, Behuda Amar, he argues. He says, no, Shemeres Yom Shemesa, regarding a woman that's waiting for Yibam and she dies, meaning what we call always classically the Zikuka, is Aser Bima. No, if she dies in that state, when the Yavam is forbidden to marry her mother.
No. So on that, the Gemara says, Amak Ksav Yesh Zika. Obviously, we see that he holds that there is Zika. This bond is a strong thing, almost like he's married to the Zakuka, and that's why that her mother would be his mother-in-law, and you can't marry that. So the Gemara asks, B'lei Malach Kedem Rami Yesh Zika. So say, the halacha follows, like the opinion that says that there is a Zika. In other words, that the bond of Yibum makes it like some type of a marriage, and therefore the mother's forbidden on the Yavim because she's his mother-in-law. Why say this specific case? Just say Yesh Zika. That the Gemara says, had we said yesh zika, havamina hanamil b'chad. I would have thought to say that when do we say there's a bond that you're like almost married with her? That's when you're just one yavam. Av betray ain't zika, but when there's two yavamim, then there's no zika because you can't say I'm like married to her. We can't have two brothers married to the same woman. So therefore, there we wouldn't say zika. And that's why we have to say a halach. But first the Gemara asks, but what do you mean? How can you say that? V'ki pligi, the whole machlik is Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan, which again was that the source of this halachic machlik is of Zika or not, which is the Mishnah Mem Alf Man Alf, that whole machlik is was betray pligi. They were arguing regarding a case when we tell one brother, hold on, you're engaged to the Zakuka's sister, don't marry her until your brother does a mice and he goes ahead and does Yibum. And therefore, the Gemara's question is, if we would have said yesh Zika, what do you mean we would have thought that's only by one brother, and there's only one Yavim and not two? By default, if we're saying yesh Zika, referring to that machlekes over there, where that was a case of more than one Yavim. There had to be at least two brothers remaining, because it's one brother that's going to the sister, and we tell him, wait till your other brother does Yibam. So the Gemara says, you're right, Ella, rather the reason why he had to say the case and not just say yesh Zika is because Iyar Mahachi, had he just said that there's yesh Zika, there is a full-fledged bond over here that creates some type of a quasi-marriage. And we continue on top of Yud Ches Min Alef, Havimina Mechayim. Would have thought to say that Zika bond is when she's still alive. Avala Acher Misa Pakala Zika, but after she dies, so then what type of a bond is there? The whole bond was based on the mitzvah that was incumbent upon me, doing Yibum Chalitza, once she passes away. So then there's no bond here. I never consummated that relationship. And therefore, would have thought to say that then you would be permitted in her mother because you never got married to her. Maybe the bond is there when you're both alive. So there's like almost like people pushing you to make the shidduch. But when she passes away, so nothing ever happened. Nothing materialized. And therefore, then you'd be permitted in the mother. Kamash Malan, that's why we had to say this specific case. The Zika Bechti Leipaka. The Zika, the bond, cannot just dissipate. There's a reality here. There was a relationship. Now, that relationship either gets consummated with Yibum or has to be broken with Chalitza. But if she passed away without either Yibum or Chalitza being done to her, so then that Zika, that relationship, is still extant. And that's why his opinion was that in Yesh Zika, but Rabbi Huda had to say it over in that halacha case to say that even when she passed away, Yesh Zika goes so far, even when she's dead, still that Zika will still be extant, because no chalitza was done to her, and therefore it will be Asr B'ima. It's almost like there's some type of quasi-marriage that's still here to this woman, the Yavama, that passed away, and then it will be Asr B'ima, because halachically, in this form of Zika, it's considered like as if she is his mother-in-law.